Welcome to episode number 7 of the Yellow Jacket Experience. I'm joined by AIC Men's Lacrosse's Cam Menard. Cam, how are you doing tonight?
I'm good. How are you, Seth?
Well, we are living the dream. It's every day is a day closer to lacrosse season, right?
Yep. It's definitely counting down, definitely getting ready, definitely enjoying, you know, finals being over and the off season. Got to put that work in, but got to enjoy the holidays with the family and stuff too.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You got the background there already. Looks phenomenal. This is a guy, AI committed. It's him, Cam Menard, I'll tell you that. But let's kick it back to the days before AIC, when you were a little kid playing sports. How did you first get into lacrosse? Maybe what other sports did you play when you were a kid besides lax?
So I played soccer twice a year. I tried basketball. I stuck with that for a little bit. I tried t-ball. Wasn't for me. I didn't get into lacrosse until I moved to West Springfield, Mass. I lived in Springfield all my life, and obviously Springfield's an up-and-coming program with Central, but they didn't have lacrosse, so until I moved here, I didn't even know what it was. I just played spring and fall soccer. I was a big soccer guy, and then once I played lacrosse in fourth grade, kind of fell in love with it, and I've been playing it year-round since. Any kind of tournaments, anything I could get into, I was always down. Me and my dad would always drive everywhere and play just to get the experience and get better at the sport.
So what was it about lacrosse that just clicked for you? What was it that made you decide I want to play lacrosse as opposed to continuing maybe with playing soccer? Or I know you ran cross country in high school as well.
Yeah, I ran cross country because I kind of got sick of soccer after playing it so much, but I could never get sick of lacrosse. The creativity with it, being able to learn to string my own stick, just all the people around me were so much different at soccer. Soccer to me growing up was very clicky, whereas lacrosse, everyone was so welcoming to me. I've had friends in Northampton, Vermont, literally everywhere across the Northeast that I still talk to today in college. We all go to different colleges, but I keep in touch with them. And I think that really drew me in was that friendship that I could make with everyone through the sport and the creativity and the differences and everything, everyone's game.
You know, being a local, being from Springfield and then playing in West Springfield, what was the recruiting process like for you when Tim reached out to you? And how much did the ability to be close to home impact your decision to decide I'm going to AIC as opposed to anywhere else?
So I actually met Coach at one of my travel team practices, and that was my sophomore year, so he couldn't actually contact me through the NCAA. But then once I hit my junior year, is when we really started to talk. I saw him and our old assistant coach, Mike Sacamani, come to a couple of my tournaments, and I would talk to them. I also visited Utica College, but that was a 3.5-hour drive. It was very far from home, and I didn't think that was just right for me. And when I came to AIC and I met with the guys on my overnight, it was a very family environment, which is what I like about the sport and what I like about AIC is we're so small-knit that we're like a close family. And that's what drew me home was I could see my family and be at school with lacrosse and all that and kind of have those two different families that I could rely on no matter what I needed in life.
It's definitely a function of the sport in lacrosse. I've found, you know, like you growing up in Springfield, East Hampton, where I'm from, didn't have lacrosse either, but getting here at AIC, you really feel that. And you mentioned travel teams as well. And that's, you know, yet another factor. And how did that experience shape you as a lacrosse player as opposed to your high school experience?
So travel is kind of more of an individual thing than a team thing. I mean, on travel team, you want to win, obviously you want to win the tournaments, but it's kind of a free for all because you're trying to get that coach's attention by working hard. And the coaches on travel teams are trying to get you to better yourself, to get those coaches to notice you, whether you want to play college lacrosse or not. They're trying to mold you into better players, but they're also trying to mold you into better men with life lessons. I know my travel team coaches like emphasize grades, emphasize like eating healthy, all that stuff. So it's not only to get you a better player, but a better person overall.
And you mentioned the friendships that you've made even with people that you played against. And you're not the only local player on our team here at AIC. Obviously, you competed against some of the guys that are now your teammates, whether it was in travel or in your high school games. What's it like having somebody that maybe you battled against for 2 or 3 or 4 years, suddenly flipping it and now you're on the same team? And how does that impact you as a player?
You definitely got to go in open arms, especially if you got to put biases aside and all that high school drama and stuff aside. So you got to get in there, got to like make it open arms, and you got to connect with them, because like now they are your teammates for the 2, 3, 4 years that you are there with them. And you got to just, you know, become brothers and rely on each other, become a team, become friends, and use each other rather than butt heads and go against each other like in high school. So it's another resource to have a local guy, because they know what it's like as well to either commute or to stay on campus, but to be local and be able to do all these things, whereas some guys who are from out of state don't really understand.
Western Mass has obviously got some great lacrosse talent. People think obviously of Long Meadow and that the program there that produces tons of talent. But it's a sport that's growing across the area. How has it looked like from your perspective as somebody who came up in the area playing around here, that how has Western Mass lacrosse kind of evolved?
Western Mass is definitely getting better. Obviously you think of Maryland, New York, Long Island areas as hotbeds. And not only like are those hotbeds, but Western Mass is definitely producing talent. The Berkshires are having more programs, more local teams like Springfield, like Central High School has started. They're starting youth programs in more and more towns. So it's creating a funnel for these colleges, whether local or, you know, not so local, to grab Western Mass kids, and that we can become like a Long Island or a Maryland or a North Carolina, all these big time hotbeds that they can pick and choose all these great kids with great talent that are starting young, that work all their way up to the highest level right now, which is college.
Looking at the program here at AIC, it's obviously, it's a climb, but it's a climb that we're taking and moving in the right direction. In your time at AIC, how have you seen the program evolve, and what do you think the next step is for the team?
Program's definitely evolved. Obviously, getting numbers is a big thing. Recruiting, getting these guys to stay and evolve and grow as a program. And mesh is probably one of the hardest things, because some guys realize college isn't for them. Some guys realize they don't want to play college lacrosse. So you got to, we got to build as a team. We've definitely built that. Now having 28 guys, we're a lot closer. We got a lot of young talent though. There's not too many upperclassmen. There's me, myself, and our other two grad students. So we have a young core that just needs to mesh and push forward really, and just get to where we want to be, which is a playoff spot in the national championship.
Now, you mentioned the other grad students, Eddie Beattie, Matt Quinlan. Obviously, didn't expect, you know, if you had said this time last year that they'd be playing again this year, everybody would have turned their heads 90 degrees. But here we are, and they're back. And how does having them back for an extra season with such a young group otherwise help this team to take that next step?
Eddie and Matt are incredible leaders, you know. Eddie being around for this is sixth year. He knows the game in and out. He knows how to lead a defense. He knows the right things to say. Quinlan has a high lacrosse IQ that leads our offense, and he knows all our plays in and out. And, you know, that leadership and knowledge can get passed down to now our juniors and sophomores who are coming up and who will be the upperclassmen in the next year or two. And then this gives and leads an example for the freshmen as well, so they can kind of learn our culture, learn the family, and learn all of the stuff that needs to happen so that we can progress and become a better team as a whole.
What's it like competing in the NE10? Because it perennially, the NE10's champion wins the national title. It seems like every year I look at our schedule and we have 8 nationally ranked opponents just in conference play. So what's it like going in every game, knowing that you're competing against a team that could be winning a national championship?
Definitely gives you a jolt of excitement and adrenaline, maybe a little fear for the freshmen, but you know, we play in one of the hardest conferences, if not the hardest. So, you know, day in and day out, you got to go to practice, you got to practice hard, and then you got to go to the games, and you got to do it even better than in practice to compete with these guys. Cause like Limes or Lemoyne, you know, obviously typically in the top 5 is hard, tough guys from New York area, Syracuse area, which is a big hotbed because Syracuse University is right there. And Adelphi, Long Island guys, all, you know, pretty talented, another hotbed. So you got to just go in, work hard, you know, play great and try and beat them. It's a 50-50 shot.
That's true. One team has to win and one team has to lose every game, right? There's no ties in lacrosse. Let's switch gears a little bit to the academic side of things, because in addition to being a lacrosse player, you know, you're a student athlete and you're an occupational therapy major. What inspired you to get into the medical field, and how do you balance a tough academic program like an occupational therapy with all of the demands of being a college athlete?
So I got into the healthcare stuff my junior year of high school. I took a anatomy and physiology course. And my teacher kind of was like, you know, you're an athlete, you're like pretty smart, you know, you got, you know, your stuff about the body, and like you do good in science. So like, why don't you think of PT, OT, nursing, stuff like that, pre-med, biology, because he was a biology major himself. He just went to teaching. And so I researched all the different things. At first I was thinking PT, and then I came to AIC and talked to the PT and OT professors, and the OT guys kind of drew me in, and that's what like pushed me. So I applied for the Master's of Occupational Therapy accelerated program, and I got in, which is great. So it's a 5 to 6 year program, depending on the credits and all that stuff that comes with college. And I've fell in love. You know, the classes are great. The professors are great. The healthcare system itself, occupational therapists are only on the rise till 2023 is what's projected, because there's so many people from the baby boomers and on who are getting older now who need the care. So to be a part of that is great. And it's changing every day. There's so many emerging practices. As for the balance part of it, you just got to take time out of your day, sit down, hunker down, study a little bit. You know, can't play video games too much, can't watch TV, you know, just get into it. You go to practice, you get home, eat, shower, study, and then maybe go to bed or watch like a little bit of TV. But that studying a little bit every day keeps your brain like focused on it, which is what I found in my 4 years so far to help me study and get through it all.
Do you have a particular professor that stands out to you in your academic career so far as somebody that either maybe you just really enjoyed their classes and the way that they teach, or had a significant impact on you through the first 4 years of your academic career?
So actually last year, one of my professors, Dr. Myers, I believe she's the director, or one of the heads of the OT program, really helped me get through last year and this year. Definitely helped me, push me through it, gave me the support I needed whenever I needed it. I could email her, get to her, and get stuff that I needed. So she has been a big help, and I appreciate everything she's done for me in the past 2 years, and I can't wait for the next two. And then I got to graduate and get my master's in OT, and I can thank her for that.
One other thing that you've been balancing along with an incredibly tough academic program as an occupational therapy major with a lacrosse career is being a dad. How has that changed your perspective on life in general, and then impacted you both as a student and as an athlete?
Yes. Yeah, so me and my girlfriend just had my son this past May when Corona kind of hit and took my season out. And I mean, going online and without a season was a big help to me personally. I mean, I miss lacrosse, obviously, and I miss being in school because online learning is a little bit difficult. You got to adjust a lot. And it made me adjust even more having a son. So it's definitely taken life into perspective that you have to manage your time well, you have to manage your responsibilities, and you just have to do it. No excuses, just get in, get out, get everything done. And then you gotta, you know, prioritize things. So it usually goes school, my family, and then lacrosse are obviously the top three, but you just gotta juggle that order sometimes. And our coaching staff and our academic professors are great, who allow me to balance all that.
So one question that we ask everybody on this podcast, and you know, I'm sure that the last question is probably pretty close to what the answer is going to be, but but other than your parents, who's somebody who's had a significant impact or influence on your life that's really kind of changed who you are or helped you become the person that you are today?
So other than my son being an amazing thing that's happened in my life, I would say Jeff Colson, who is the head of my travel team, really pushed me to be who I am today. Because as I previously mentioned, all he focused on was getting into college, getting an education. Playing lacrosse is just a bonus. And that was always one of his famous mottos is, what are your grades? Not how's lacrosse going? Like, what are your grades? What is your GPA? How are you doing in school? Like, that was all he asked. And that's what really reflected on me was get into school, get school done, and then play lacrosse and enjoy it and have fun as a bonus. So I think that's who really influenced me to get to college, and we're still in contact. I still go coach with them and help them out now being an alumni. Can't really, and I can play with their men's team, but yeah, I'd definitely say him and his supporting staff, Charlie, they both pushed me to be where I am, and I'm thankful for them.
Can't overstate the value of a good coach, because it's so much more than just the X's and O's. It's a thing I've learned over the years too. Cam, thanks for coming on. Thanks for doing this. Looking forward to getting to see you again in person in the spring, hopefully, and having some lacrosse games. And I guess we should keep a spot open for the class of 2042.
Maybe. We'll see what he wants to play. But thanks for having me, Seth. I enjoyed it.
Cam Menard of our men's lacrosse team, thank you for tuning in once again to the Yellow Jacket Experience. Be on the lookout for our next episode in a couple days.